Welcome to this Martin Bailey Photography Podcast, episode number 38. Mood or atmosphere is often an intangible substance or feeling that can sometimes be difficult to put into words, and often even more difficult to capture on film. Today I'm going to talk about some occasions on which that I have, or I think I've captured the mood as it was, and for what reasons. I'll also mention some shots that have a good start, but the mood was enhanced by using some other technology, either when shooting or in post-processing. A while ago, I made a list of images that I'd like to talk about at some point in this podcast. I jotted down the image number and a possible title or theme for the podcast. Recently, I was looking through the list and noticed image number 8 with the theme, just one word, mood. I started to look through my gallery to see if there were any other images that I could talk about to help back up what I might say, and I came up with a series of images that made me feel the mood of the shot, for one reason or another. I thinned the list down a little after my initial pass through them, but while going through I noticed a few things and I started to get a fair number of images together, but basically I started to pigeonhole the photos into a number of categories. One is visual mood caused by, say, having mist or some other visual element that invokes the feeling of mood or atmosphere, and the other I'll term implied mood. I'd say that the visual mood, even if involving natural elements like mist, fog, might perhaps be more easily planned than the mood captured in candid shots of people, for example. Sure, you could hire models and get them to do something that would relay the sort of mood that I'm thinking of here, but you actually might not be able to conceive the scene or situation in the first place without stumbling upon it. I guess this is part of the look aspect of being at the right place at the right time, with the right equipment, turned on and ready to go. The scene may only exist for a split second, too, and can never be reenacted exactly the same again. Now, having said that, I've split my list of images, and next week I'll actually talk about those that match the latter part of what I've just said. That is, images that really only exist for a moment in time and could not really be recreated without considerable or at least an unreasonable amount of effort. My list of the first type of images using natural elements or other tools at our disposal to create mood start with the first image I thought of, and that is number 8. If this is the first time you're listening to this podcast, you can view the images on my podcast page at martinbaileyphotography.com. Among other ways. I explain how to view images in more detail on occasion, so if you're stuck, please listen to a few of the other podcasts first, and then you should hear a better explanation. So, shot number 8, called Misty Morning, was shot in 1992 in Nottingham, near my hometown in England. I was home for Christmas. This was one of the few times that I've been home for Christmas during the total of 12 years or so that I've lived in Japan since 1991. And the guy in the shot is a friend, a Japanese guy that had gone back to England with me for the holidays. Unfortunately, for pretty much the entire 10 days or so we were there, the Nottingham area was enshrouded in a real pea souper. The fog just didn't let up, and the only time we saw the sun during the 10 days was during a couple of days that we spent in London, which is a couple of hours drive south of Nottingham by car. This basically meant that the usual view of the city of Nottingham that should be sprawling out in front of my friend in this scene is not visible, but that also gave me an opportunity to capture a moment in time with a certain amount of mood. This was shot with my old 35-105mm lens that I soon replaced having switched to digital, and I was using Fuji Velvia positive film. I don't recall the shutter speed or aperture settings. In the resulting shot, you can see that the branches of the tree near my friend in his almost silhouetted form are a little pale as the mist cuts out their light. You can compare them to the branches and twigs on the tree in the foreground that occupy the top right of this image. These branches are much darker and have more contrast against the background because there's not as much mist between them and the camera. This, to me at least, all adds to the somewhat solemn mood of this image. If you didn't know the background, you'd probably look at this and start painting your own ideas about this man standing looking out into the mist. Is he wondering about lost love or thinking about other troubles? There are lots of things that could spring to mind, but I'm sure none of you are thinking or imagining, you know, things like, wow, I can't wait to get to the pub tonight and have a few drinks with my mates, or, ooh, I can't wait to get home and open my Christmas presents. You know, you're probably thinking solemn, sad thoughts. This is because of the mood that the fog in this image with the lighting lends to the shot. So, on the subject of light, and this shot is a somewhat more subtle example, let's take a look at image number 722. This shot is of a mother and child both peering out of the Tipu Sultan Palace in Bangalore, India, and it has a different kind of mood. The surroundings being a palace gives them kind of a regal look, but I imagine these people surveying their domain, maybe even feeling lucky to be there. I get a serious yet happy mood from this image. I'm thinking that the reason is probably coming from the fact that there are no lights in the building and the only ambient light is entering the building from the front, lighting the front of the subject's faces, but quickly dropping into shadow from their cheeks and then totally shadowing out the back of their heads. This is enforcing the mood or the feeling of them looking out, surveying their domain as such. I think that I'm also getting a warm feeling from the shot because of the warm golden brown colours. This was shot in October 2005 during a brief visit to India, and I was using my 24 to 105mm f4 lens at 105mm. The ISO was set to 400 with the aperture wide open at f4 and a shutter speed of 1/20th of a second. I myself was halfway down a staircase when I noticed these people peering out from the balcony and snatched a quick shot before they'd broke their pose. You'd probably also think that they were in this position for a long time, once again down to the mood of the shot, but the reality is that they stopped for just a very short while and moved on. Next, let's talk about things that can be done to increase the mood of a shot. While shooting, there are often things that can be done to change the appearance of the final image. In episode 35 of this podcast, we went on a virtual tour of the Chichibu cement factory. The last image I spoke about in that podcast was image number 981, and I'd like to revisit that image again today. As I said in episode 35, this is one of my favourite shots right now, so forgive me for harping on about it, but I wanted to reiterate while discussing mood that I actually walked into this scene scuffing my feet against the dusty concrete to raise the dust that you can see helping to make the pillar of light entering from the hole in the corrugated steel wall at the corrugated sidings more visible. Without this dust, the rays of light would just really be, you wouldn't see them. There'd be nothing there. All you'd see would be the light hitting the floor in the foreground. So I guess the takeaway here would be, if you are shooting in a darkened room with light flooding in, sometimes it will be visible, but on occasion you may need to do something at your with things at your disposal to make it visible. Now, I personally don't do any studio shooting other than still lives with a small setup, so I'm not sure what sort of tricks studio photographers have up their sleeves. But I have seen machines that make smoke, for example. I think the machine that I saw actually makes bubbles and all sorts of things as well, but that probably would spoil the mood a little. Anyway, rather than buying a machine, you could perhaps light a cigarette if you smoke yourself, or get someone to puff a few lungs full of smoke into the scene if this is an option. Dry ice or incense sticks might also be an option, and I'm sure there are lots of other things that can be done to make the rays of light more visible. If this is not your profession and you don't want to go out buying machines, like I said, get inventive with what you have at your disposal to make that ray of light stand out. It will probably improve your shots by adding a little, I'm going to say it again, mood. In the next shot, image number 729, we can see more rays of light, this time natural, caused by bright sunlight shining through a break in the clouds over the Chuzenji Lake in the mountains at Nikko in Tochigi Prefecture here in Japan. This shot, again made with my 24-105mm f4 lens at f8 this time with a shutter speed of 1/640th of a second. The ISO was 100, so you can see that this was pretty fast shutter speed. Throwing the line of trees along the center of the shot, almost into, well, completely into silhouette, and almost throwing the rest, the shore and the small promontory into silhouette, they're just very dark. Also, the clouds in the sky are very dark and heavy with an almost daunting look. There are a number of reasons why I picked this shot to talk about mood. I think the boat moored on the shore in the front of the promontory adds to the atmosphere. This may be nothing more than my interpretation, but from the boat I kind of get a peaceful feeling. It's as if the work is done for the day and the owner of the boat is now at home, maybe soaking in a bath after a day's work or sitting in front of the TV with a glass of sake reading a newspaper. In addition to that, the dark looming sky also, you know, it looks like it's maybe could rain heavily at any minute. But then there's the ray of light, like a ray of hope, keeping the feeling of rain at bay and overall restoring the balance to the calm peacefulness that I get from the boat. The next shot, number 380, was shot, I think, if my memory serves me correctly, on the day that I bought my 50mm f1.4 lens. I dropped it onto my old 10D on the bus on the way back from the camera store on the 22nd of May 2004. So looking up, preparing for this podcast, I realized that that was just 2 years and 2 days ago. So that makes this lens 2 years old for me this week. Anyway, I literally just dropped the lens onto the 10D and snapped off two or three frames in the bus. I wasn't particularly thinking about the results, but when I got home and I looked at the images, I found that I liked the everyday, nothing out of the ordinary type feel, or again, mood of the shot. But it was lacking something. I wanted now to make something out of the shot, so I fired up Fred Miranda's Black and White Workflow Pro plugin in Photoshop. I'll drop a link into the show notes to Fred's online store where you can buy his filters. Basically, this plugin allows you to make a vast array of black and white images with lots of variations, such as this rich, dark sepia effect. For this particular image, I'd applied a red filter, which gives the effect that a red filter would have on a black and white when shooting black and white film. And not making the image red. It's not like doing anything. That's not where the orangey color comes from. And then I also chose the Tritones Sepia Dark effect. Now, I must admit that I don't use this filter as much as I used to anymore. But I still play around with it quite a lot when I'm trying to make something of shots that maybe would look better in black and white. I also now go to Photoshop a little more and use the tritones and duotones directly for this sort of effect. But basically, Fred's plugins do make these sort of things much easier and very intuitive. So if you're interested, like I say, I'll put a link into the show notes, so go and take a look. One thing that I did pay a little attention to when shooting this image was the fact that you could see the driver in the rear view mirror. I feel that this adds to the shot, but making it this rich sepia color really throws us back in time with a very retro kind of feel to it. If we imagine the LCD with the bus stop name that you can see above the rear view mirror to be one of those old bus signs that are like stenciled into some kind of, I don't know, maybe a waxed canvas, that they roll around, you know, with the light reflecting in from the outside, And maybe also if you don't think too much about the rounded form of the car bodies in front of the bus, then we could probably pass this image off for being maybe 20 or 30 years old. Basically just because of the mood given to it by the dark, rich sepia effect. At least that's the way it makes me feel. So basically here what I'm saying is try making your image black and white or sepia, and you might find that it adds a different atmosphere to the shot than it would otherwise have in colour. Remember, there are many ways to create black and white images too, and I won't go into these today. But one thing that you should not do is to simply use the desaturate option in Photoshop. I recently said, again in the Chichibu Cement Factory podcast, that I desaturated the image or the images a little. By this, I meant that I reduced the saturation, but Wayne, one of the long-term major contributors on the website, soon pointed out that we should not use the desaturation in Photoshop, but of course he was meaning for black and white shots. Sorry for the confusing terminology, Wayne, and thanks for pointing it out. Wayne did point us to a great tutorial on the Photoshop user website about converting to black and white using the channel mixer in Photoshop. There's a video tutorial there too, so if you're interested, there'll be a link in the show notes. Finally today, let's take a look at another image, number 985. This is an example, again, of changing the mood or the atmosphere of an image totally at the time of shooting. This is a little oasis in a place called Shinagawa, just outside of the Canon S Tower near the Shinagawa train station. I shot this last Saturday with my 24mm TSE lens. Tilt-shift lenses allow us to change the focus plane of an image to, at the extreme, to run almost down the very centre of the image as though projected straight out from the lens, as opposed to being parallel to the film plane. For more details of this, listen to episode 13 on using a tilt-shift lens for surreal images. As I went into a lot of detail about using a tilt-shift lens in that episode, I won't go into it again today, but rather I'll talk about this from an artistic perspective, what I was thinking behind this shot. Firstly, the sky and the buildings are overexposed, but I chose this shot over better exposed shots because I feel that it enhances the overall surreal look that this lens gives the shots when the focal plane is adjusted to run almost down the centre of the frame. I also corrected the buildings leaning in with the lens in some other shots, but again I chose this one over them as it keeps us in that surreal atmosphere that I was aiming for. The trees and a few people at the bottom of the shot are well exposed, and this is the focal point of the shot. You'll see that the lens has forced the trees either side of the path quite far out of focus, and the buildings to the sides are really quite fuzzy. Now, this probably isn't a moody shot in any way, but the atmosphere is definitely not normal. I've used the technology, which is the TS lens, at shooting time to give that image the atmosphere of being somewhat out of this world, like looking at a tiny model of the world rather than a real scene with real trees and real people. This is also helped by the fact that there are the natural shapes of the trees among the angular buildings of Tokyo, which is why I titled this particular image Shinagawa Oasis. There are probably a lot of areas that I have not and really cannot touch on today with regards to creating mood. In the second shot of the mother and child in the palace in India, I mentioned the lighting on the subject's faces. As I said, I don't do studio work myself, but I'm sure there are techniques for changing the mood of portraits by lighting them in a certain way, maybe by lighting from one side only, throwing the other side of the face into shadow. I'm sure that at some point you'll have tried holding a torch under your chin in the dark so as to light your face from the bottom. This makes for a very scary look indeed, so You know, most definitely not flattering, but what I really am trying to say is that, you know, there are ways that you will change the mood of a shot by the lighting. And, you know, hopefully, if anyone that does do studio work can share some of these techniques with us, maybe drop a topic into the forum at martinbaileyphotography.com. So that's about it for today. Although they will not be directly linked, as I said in the introduction, I'll probably do another episode next week as a loose follow-on to this, with examples of captured mood or capturing mood in a fleeting moment that can really not be recreated again without going to great lengths, if at all. Unless, of course, something else happens over the next few days that makes me postpone this theme until a later date. Also, remember that the new assignment on rainy days is now open for submissions. If you are not already aware of this, please listen to episode number 37 for more details. There's still plenty of time to get out shooting and prepare something for the assignment. Thanks very much for listening, and have a great rest of the week and a great weekend, whether you're out shooting or whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.